right, it's early August and we're doing the Division 1B podcast by popular demand because I have Enda Finn and Dave Mahon here with me in Naas on a August 1st evening with the sun shining and some North Midlands underage training to go. And lads, Dave, I'll start with you. Very welcome along.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, Rob.
And Enda, very welcome along.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, and the populist demand, we chat a little bit about Division 1B, even at this early stage. There's no way I'm going to be asking you necessarily to nail your head to blocks and say who for definite is going to be promoted, but it's a mad division, Enda. Monkstown coming down, I feel one of the better teams probably to be relegated from a top flight in Leinster in the past few years, and maybe you can give that a bit more perspective. They're class side and they'll be favourite school straight back up.
Yeah, I suppose they were a little bit unfortunate to find themselves in that relegation situation last year, particularly with the game against Guards and the player not registered correctly. So they will have that, I suppose, as a little bit of a, a grudge. And if they can harness that kind of bitterness, they'll need it, because when you're travelling to places like Longford and Wicklow, the home support can be quite vocal and they can get at you. So if you come in quite angry and you can go to these away places and get a result, it'll lay a good foundation for them. But Monkstown, they did struggle a little bit up front last year in 1A, and from experience, I think 1B is a more forward-orientated division. Teams are less... They are afraid to take a risk, to do kind of retain possession up front. You'll find tens will kick a lot more, so if Monkstown can match a lot of provincial sides up front, they generally have a good back play, so they should be able to hold their own, and if they get well, get a couple of good results early in the season, they should go well.
Just labouring the Monk standpoint a little bit, Dave, but that might be the little bit of a problem for them as well, in the sense that Division 1A, you know, playing teams like yourselves and Scurries last year, and then a Scurry suits a Monkstown type team better. I actually saw Monkstown beating Scurries, one of the few teams to beat them last season, so maybe it won't suit them as much playing Ashburn and Port Arlington and teams like that.
See, the thing with Monkstown is that they actually, when they had their strongest pack, they actually had a good pack, but the problem was, they had, you know, they were dependent on Fozzy, who, you know, he's ridiculously overweight, and he'd be happy enough to admit that himself. If he's not, he's blind. I mean, Stevie Wonder could see it, you know. You know, when you're dependent on players like that who have major fitness issues, not from a cardiovascular perspective, just in terms of injury, and when those guys are not there, there's a huge hole in your side. And that was their problem last year, because when they were missing two or three guys out of their first choice, they didn't have the strength and depth. And that was probably part of the reason why they lost, because I would have fancied Monkstown to win a couple of games in the wet. Having said that, we played them in the second last round of the league, and we had to play really well to beat them in a torrid encounter down in Newbridge. I think they might have got a losing bonus, but we sold them out in the last game because we didn't turn up in Dundalk. And in the 78th minute, I think Dundalk got a bonus point, which relegated Monkstown. So I have a huge amount of sympathy for Monkstown, and I hope they bounce back. They deserve to be in the top level, you know. I just would wonder whether they seem to be learning the lessons from this league. You know, they just, you know, they've come down. They've won the league in their first year in Division 1 of the Leinster League, and they haven't really been a credible force since then, you know. So I think they need to do a bit of soul searching and try and figure out. It took Scurries a while too, you know, so there is light for Monkstown, but I think they really need to kind of go back to the drawing board, and maybe a quick fix and a quick jump back up is not the solution, you know.
Who's going to pop out of the pack? We don't have a lot of time to go through every team individually, but we can probably give some feeling of who could emerge this season, or is there anyone just to keep an eye on?
Tullo.
Yeah, they were in the relegation playoff last year.
Yeah, but they're also in the Towns Cup final. I think the penny has finally dropped. I think that they're starting to realise that they need to build on the league. They need to take their cup performances, use them as a basis that they can actually perform the league week in, week out. They brought in a new coach. You know, I think they're recruiting a couple of players as well. So I think that their focus, I think, it's going to shift slightly from the cup towards the league, and I think they will really, really stand out this year.
Dave, if you want to say Tullo as well, but anyone you're looking at that could bounce out of the pack?
Well, just quickly on the Tullo thing, yeah. I think Finney's bang on. I think their penny has dropped. They never gave the league any real, apart from when they were in the, the, the bottom end of the league. But now they realised for them to be a credible force in the Towns Cup, and they are a credible force, but for them to get over the line, they need to be performing week in, week out in Division 1A of the Leinster League. So I think that alone is the caveat for them to possibly get promoted. I think Massey's going to give them something that they possibly haven't had before. The ability to play with a lot of width, although Willie Canavan would probably disagree with that. Somebody observed that, you know, when things weren't going well with Birch last year and he was trying to get into play that, with that little bit of width, that they needed to go back to playing Tulla rugby. What let them down in the Towns Cup final was their tight five, you know. So I think it's a bit of a myth for Tulla to be saying they have a really abrasive forward pack. I think, you know, that's one area, if they can get that right. And I've no doubt they'll probably really endeavour to do that. I think they'll be a credible force. I think it's probably hard to look beyond them. Port Arlington are a team, I think they've been a bit of a yo-yo team. It's going to be interesting to see how they survive without Massey. Seemingly the word on the grapevine is they've signed it out half, and they have a couple of their boys, the Bull is coming over from Port Arlington to coach them, along with one other guy whose name it just deserts me at the minute, but I think they could be reasonably strong. And I think Wicklow could be one to watch. Niall Smullen and Kenny Copeland coming down from De La Salle, they could... Wicklow just seemed to fade away a bit last year, and they got to that playoff, and then they just didn't turn up in the playoff, you know? So, you know, Wicklow could be one to watch, you know?
They'll miss Barry Lynn now, who's gone back to play. I think he's playing with Bechtov, which is great for him, and he has the quality to do that, but... They still have so much talent, and a lot of it coming through those underage sides that were so good.
Yeah, like, I mean, they've got a fantastic underage structures. They've won underage All-Ireland titles, but they've never really built on it. And I think I read there before, it was a knock on that E, that you know, they're leaving a great future behind them. They have a lot of Leinster youths come through the ranks, and they just need to galvanise the club. I mean, I think the problem with Wicklow last year was they had a great season before Christmas, and they failed to put in the work over Christmas. I remember speaking to Barry Lynn about it, and they went down to Portlaoise, who were bottom of the league at that stage, and they lost, and they never recovered from that, really. They kind of spluttered over the line. They did have one great performance against Kildare in the league, and they probably should have won that game. They didn't, and the rest, as I say, is history. They went to play Dundalk and were well beaten. But if the lads can come in, get the structures right, make them work hard, and make sure they maintain that work ethic over the course of the season and not just the first half, Wicklow will be there, thereabouts.
Are Longford ready to make another step up? Colm Glynn's doing a great job there. Niall Moran's in with him, our own Niall Moran, so we won't talk him up too much. But Colm's done a good job. He's a key player, and I saw them against Kildare last year in the Towns Cup. Very unlucky to lose them. They did well in the league.
I saw Longford play once last year. It was against you guys in Kildare in Beach Park.
In the league.
And for 60 minutes, they were well in it. And they more than matched that Kildare pack, and a pack that I have huge respect for. But with 60 minutes to go, there was four substitutions made by Kildare up front. And they just kicked into an extra gear, and Longford ran out of puff, and I think Kildare won probably by 10 or 12 points in the end. I think the one thing they lacked was strength and depth, and I think he's probably going to have a rattle at, and he has had a rattle at, trying to bridge that gap. And if they do manage to sign those extra five or six players that give them the 22 or 23 first team players, they won't lose too many games at home, and it'll all depend on if they can pick up enough points on the road. And if they do manage that, I think they'll go very close.
Maybe a good early season sign, if you were putting money on Longford, if there was a betting market on the division, will be how their seconds are doing, because that's been something they've struggled before. So I suppose if you see them performing well in those early weeks, you'll know there's a bit of depth there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my own philosophy is that if you want to be competitive at first team, you need a competitive second team. And Longford just didn't have that last year. A competitive second team, it drives on competition for places, but it means then when guys do drop down from the first team or coming back from injury, they're coming into an environment where the lads are winning, and it's still good rugby. You know, if you don't have a strong second team, you're not going to push on first team rugby at all.
I want to make sure we don't not cover anyone. So who's left? Carlo, Ashburn, Clondalkin, of course. Nearly forgot them.
Yeah.
Take one of them. Take any of them.
I'll take. I think it's going to be very important for Clondalkin this year to push on.
Yeah.
They came up, they got promoted last year into Division 1B. They performed very admirably. They're very good at home. They're introducing a new coaching consultant in John Bagnell. John will introduce a new kind of style of rugby, very much based on a general movement and recognising space and moving the ball into space. It'll be a little bit alien to Clondalkin, who've been renowned for having a big pack, good scrummaging, good line-out. So if they can marry the two, you know, they should progress as well, and they could be in the shake-up in the end. Ashburn, we played Ashburn at the start of the season last year. In Ashburn, we won comfortably. We never struggled in the game at all. Conversely, we played them twice after Christmas in the league and in the cup, and you know, they beat us twice. And the main difference was they had Gavin Kennedy at scrum half and they had Paul Morris at our half for the latter two games. They made Ashburn tick. They're gone, as far as I'm aware, for next season. I think they'll struggle without them. Not because they won't get good players in, it's just because those two guys were key to the way Ashburn play and the kind of the game plan and the philosophy that was up in Ashburn.
That just gives me enough time to finish on Carlow, Dave. There's some talk in the background that maybe Carlow might be in a little bit of bother this season and might struggle. We've already mentioned Tullow could be the team to emerge from the pack. Are these worrying times for Carlow?
Well, if Carlow go down again, yeah, and say Tullow were to get promoted, I think Carlow could be in a whole world of pain. You know, I know the word on the street is that they're going to be a very young team. As far as I can ascertain, they've hemorrhaged a few players. Guys from the IT that were playing for them have finished their courses and have moved on to jobs and the Big Smoke and stuff like that, you know. So, the Indian sign is not good for County Carlow. So, you know, you won't really know. It's hard to say until, you know, the first or second round of the league. But I think if they don't get off to a good start, that bad sinking feeling of relegation, there's been so many relegations there in the last 5 or 6 years, that if that culture gets in amongst the players, it could be a long, difficult season for them, you know.
Well, I think their coaching team would be happy that we've raised that flag for them anyways. But listen, good place as any to leave it. We're not going to make any calls yet because it's August, for the love of God, people. But I hope we've covered all the teams. Enda, thanks a minute.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Dave.
No problem.
It's us gone.